Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tina Ferguson, also known as the Queen of Dreams. You are listening to Queen of Dreams Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. It's April 22nd. We're speeding through 2010. Hope you are not reeling from the effects of that. And tonight we have a little bit of a special guest tonight because we I don't know that we have had any guest that has spoken on this topic, so I'm really excited to have a great conversation with Matt Welsh, who is here with spiritualmediablog.com, spiritual, spiritualmediablog.com. And Matt, let me share a little bit about him. After Matt graduated from law school, he moved from Indianapolis to Los Angeles to work for a talent and literary agency, the William Morris Agency, like the biggest one ever. While working in Hollywood, Matt realized that there were a lot of spiritual movies, TV shows, and programs being made that were not getting the respect they deserved. This experience drove him to create Spiritual Media Blog in order to raise awareness for emerging conscious entertainment. Welcome, Matt.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Tina.
Yeah, I'm really excited to actually have a conversation about this because I've had a couple of different experiences with really looking at various things in the world, such as different movies and TV shows and books and really really understanding the delineation between consciousness and let's call it religion. And so I'm eager to have a great conversation tonight about that. So before we get into that, I always ask our guests to share a little bit about their journey, just because I know that our audience is on a journey, and one of the ways that they learn best is by hearing other people's stories. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your story? Because, I mean, you graduated from law school. Some people, they're halfway into law school, and they say, oh, this isn't for me. But what's that all about? You went to law school and then hit LA and, William Morris Agency. My understanding is that's not an easy playground to play in. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your little journey so far?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, when I entered law school, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but I was interested in law because I felt like I could use a law degree to go into various areas. And one of my passions when I first got into law school was writing, movies, books. So I started to take as many of those entertainment law classes that I could take just to get my hands on. And in particular, I was more interested in the books and the movies related to consciousness or spirituality. That's what really got me excited. So I would spend a lot of my free time when I wasn't studying watching those types of movies like The Secret, movies like What the Bleep, or some more classic movies like Field of Dreams. And that's what really drove me and inspired me and excited me. And I thought to myself, how can I use my law degree and my interest in these spiritual conscious movies, entertainment books, how can I combine the two? And it's not an easy combination, but there are different outlets out there to pursue that. And for me, I found that working at a talent and literary agency, such as one like William Morris, would be the best introduction and sort of apprenticeship and overview to really get my feet wet, get my hands dirty, to learn what the entertainment industry was about and really try to see what I could do, if anything, to try to raise awareness for these types of movies with agents to see if I could get them to potentially pitch them to studios or try to get more of these movies made. That was a pretty big and ambitious goal to set out with. I got an internship at William Morris. That went well. And after law school, I got a full-time position there as an assistant. And William Morris is an excellent agency. They're very well known. And I have a lot of respect for the people who work there. But I found it very difficult to fit in there and to really sort of pursue my interest in spiritual entertainment and consciousness. it's not exactly on Hollywood's radar right now. It hasn't reached the mainstream. It's starting to emerge, and there's starting to be a lot of people interested in it. But people who are really in the industry, it's not something that they've fully embraced quite yet. For example, I had a really interesting conversation that I thought was telling with someone who worked pretty high up in Hollywood, and I was talking to them, and I said, have you seen the movie The Secret? Because I've tried to use that movie to sort of see if I could find some interest. And they hadn't seen it, and I said, well, you know, I was trying to be as polite and respectful as I could, and I said, you know, Larry King has done 3 shows about this movie. Oprah, I think, has done 4 shows about this movie. It might be something that you could look into. It really does have a wide appeal, and it's garnered a lot of attention. And it just wasn't quite something that they were interested in, and really that most of Hollywood was not interested in. And at the time, it was very frustrating. It was difficult. I felt kind of like almost like a fish out of water. Didn't really feel like I fit in, or that I could find a place to pursue those interests, and felt like I wasn't going to be able to pursue spiritual entertainment and consciousness and books and TVs and programs like that working at an agency. And out of that frustration, really a desire within me came up to do something about this. And I felt like I could make the best contribution, sort of get the word out about spiritual and conscious movies, books, TV shows, music, by creating Spiritual Media Blog. And so that's really how Spiritual Media Blog was started. Why I created it was because I figured out this might be the best medium that I could create to really get the word out about these books, movies, TV shows, that people know that, first of all, they are being created, and second of all, people want to watch these movies, and they really have a powerful impact on people, including myself. So that was kind of my journey as related to Spiritual Media Blog, and it's something that I write in every day, and it's something that I feel very passionate about.
Well, yeah, I can certainly relate to what you're talking about. I remember when I was little, you know, my mother was really into movies, and I would, you know, anytime I was, you know, wanted to, you know, go dream big or you know, dive into what was possible, I'd always go to a movie because it's like, oh, you know, I mean, there's just something about going in that state of positive expectancy that can just, you know, sweep you off to another land. And at the same time, it's interesting to me, and I can also understand probably part of the reason why you had the experience you had. One of the things that I've been kind of boggled by, you know, and something that's been on my mind for several months now, is that I'm going to try to put this very succinctly here, is that, you know, I look at some of these movies that are being put out, and, you know, part of consciousness is really, you know, guarding your mind so that you're not just floating it up with a bunch of stuff and a bunch of junk. And some of these movies are really, I mean, you know, they're full of a bunch of stuff. Not saying that, you know, anyone's perfect. I don't mean that. But literally, you know, impressing lots and lots of these types of images on our minds. And yet that's what, you know, ends up selling quite well, especially like a horror slasher type films and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I've had difficulty really reconciling is there are some Christian publishers, for example, that really put out some pretty pretty intense media and information. And so it's been really fascinating to really watch that whole genre of you know, spiritual / conscious entertainment. Letters to God is out right now on the big screen. And so to me, you know, I think Conversations with God went to the major movie theaters, you know, not just the indie or the art theaters. And so I feel like I'm seeing it as well, but at the same time, there seems to be this interesting dichotomy that's available out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been very fascinating to sort of watch this evolve and progress. Originally, I found that Hollywood, some of the classic movies, really sort of embraced these movies that have uplifting, positive values and messages. For example, What Dreams May Come, It's a Wonderful Life, Field of Dreams. I mean, those are movies that I remember when I watched Field of Dreams in law school, it really had a profound effect on me because I thought, here is a man who follows his voice to build a baseball field in his backyard. And it just really was a thought-provoking movie that made me ask, where does this voice come from? What dreams do I have? What role do our dreams play? And it really moved me. And more recently, it's you're right, there's a very strong dichotomy. The mainstream media in Hollywood hasn't quite embraced those types of movies yet. There are a lot of horror movies that are selling, but in the last couple of years, there has been, I think, a bit of a resurgence. Letters to God is a good one. Conversations with God. Another movie I really liked was Peaceful Warrior. And probably two of the biggest films this year that I really liked a whole lot were The Blind Side and Avatar. And those movies, I think, especially Blind Side and Avatar, really sort of demonstrate that people are hungry for movies that really show what's possible, just humanity acting at its best. And it can really inspire people to want to go out and make a difference and positive impact in other people's lives. So there definitely is a dichotomy. It's my hope and my goal that we can sway it more to some of those more uplifting and conscious films, because I think that's really what people have a hunger for.
Yeah, I agree with you. Avatar, I mean, what is up with that movie? What is it like? You know, I don't know what the stat is, but I know it's over $1 billion in revenue worldwide. And it really is such a great movie and includes a lot of Native American type themes and oneness themes, and it's really beautiful. At the same time, it has that commercial aspect, you know, good versus evil, that sort of thing. So perhaps maybe that's where the balance is struck, where, you know, you have the commercial aspect, but you also have the message as well.
Yeah, that's one thing that I really admire James Cameron for doing, is it's tricky to find that balance, whether you're writing a book or making a movie where you have a message that you really want to get across because you feel like it could inspire people, but at the same time, you also really do want to create a compelling story that has conflict, that has drama, that maybe has some humor into it, where people can really go and not be inspired, but not only be inspired, but also be entertained. So it's tricky to find that balance. But I think you have... Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say, you know, we have a 9-year-old, and do you know how hard it is to find basically any type of movie that doesn't have pretty shocking violence in it? I mean, when we watched The Blind Side together, I mean, I don't think you watched the whole thing, but it, you know, basically looking on the cover, the DVD cover, basically said it had one violent scene in it. And so, you know, it was almost refreshing to not sit through a whole movie just waiting to get to a place where, you know, we're covering his eyes or whatever. I believe that, you know, more and more kids are coming in a lot more sensitive, and so a lot more, you know, just really can't handle that kind of stimulation, you know. So yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that these movies are coming out. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the spiritual media blog. And, you know, you shared a little bit about why you created it. And what, I mean, when you're talking about spiritual and inspirational entertainment, you shared some of the movies and that sort of thing. But what it feels like to me under what you're saying is that you feel like you have a mission to ensure that these types of films or, you know, various types of entertainment really find a voice and a foothold in the marketplace. Would that be true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, not only do I want to sort of promote and highlight and talk about movies that are spiritual and conscious, but also sort of show that this is something that has a wide mainstream mass appeal. I mean, that's why I mentioned Larry King doing shows about The Secret, Oprah doing shows, having a whole TV show and webinar devoted to Eckhart Tolle's teachings. So anytime that there's a show like Larry King or Oprah who does a show about spirituality, I try to incorporate that just to let people and hopefully Hollywood eventually know that there's a wide audience out there who want to hear this type of program, and it has a commercial appeal too. And your example of Avatar is a great example. I mean, if they've skillfully make movies that combine a good story with inspiring messages, then it really can have a commercial appeal. So I do try to, whenever I can, I try to show movies or TV shows and books and music that really do have a mass appeal. Another recent example was PBS just did a two-hour documentary on the life of the Buddha, and Richard Gere narrated that. So, I mean, here's a major TV station that's devoted 2 hours to talking about the life of the Buddha. You have other TV shows. For example, a news program, 2020, did a show on forgiveness. There was a movie on Lifetime a couple weeks ago about the Amish shooting and how they, you know, a few years ago when there was the school shooting with the Amish community, they chose to forgive the shooter. So anytime that there's a TV show or a movie that really has a mass appeal that gets major attention from a major news station, cable station, or distribution in theaters, I really try to write about that just to let people know that there is a mass audience for it. People do want to see it, and it's something that can be commercial. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I really do try to show that there is a commercial appeal to these films, that it's not just a small niche. It's something that can reach a mainstream audience.
So, Matt, do you have what I'm curious about is what is – I definitely can feel your sense of mission around this. What I'm wanting to be able to see is what's your vision? I mean, how, you know, what is your vision? Is it more movies that come out like this? I mean, could you share what your vision is? You know, what would your vision fulfilled look like?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it's a big vision. I would like to see there be more movies come out with this, something that Hollywood begins to take these movies more seriously, and if somebody comes to them and say, I'd like to make a movie about consciousness or spirituality, that not only would they understand what that means, but they would get excited about that. And I think we're slowly starting to get to that point. I was really excited to see that Eat, Pray, Love is going to be made into a summer blockbuster movie starring Julia Roberts this summer. So, I mean, there are people actually in Hollywood that are opening up space for these movies. So that's exciting and encouraging to see. And like I said, it really is something that I think is important, because I think movies, it's such a powerful medium. I know from personal experience that I've watched movies before that have really touched me and really given me a different perspective and way of looking at things. So I think that they really do have a powerful impact on not only us as individuals, but collectively on our society. So I would like to see that more of these movies be made and be approached with a little more open-mindedness, I guess. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Right, I so agree with you because I feel like it's a team effort. You know, just talking about Eat, Pray, Love, for those of you who don't know, Eat, Pray, Love is a book that really a memoir by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it has a huge following with primarily females. And Julia Roberts is going to be starring in that. Does it open in August? I know it's later in the year, but maybe I'm wrong on the opening date. But I really feel like it's a collective effort in that the actors must say, hey, I want to do great films, and I want to do films that make a difference, and I want to make films that matter. And Julia Roberts is a really good example of that. I would say she did Erin Brockovich, which is, I mean, one of my all-time favorite inspired types of movies. I mean, if anyone ever gets down, you just pop that one in and go, oh, I can do anything. And isn't that really what you're hoping to unleash, is that feeling within all of us that we really can do anything?
Yeah, exactly. It's movies that really just inspire us, that excite us, that really get us thinking about the type of life that we want to create. It's not making movies that are necessarily like preachy or overwhelmingly dogmatic. It's movies that really we're excited about after we see it. We feel better about our life. We are optimistic. We are hopeful. We have more joy. And not just sort of like cheesy movies, but really movies that are compelling, that have good suspense, that have good acting, that have drama, that has good humor. But at the same time, we leave the movie and we walk away and we feel better about our life, and we feel optimistic, and we feel like we're ready to take on more challenges, and we're able to approach the adversity and struggles in our life with a bit more focus, persistence, or open-mindedness. So those are the type of movies that really excite me. There's obviously a place for other movies that might not have those type of messages, but that are good in and of themselves and fun to watch. But my real excitement and passion are movies, like you said, movies that matter, movies that make a difference, movies that really get people excited about taking on the challenges in their life.
You know, one of the things that I've been noticing as a trend, you probably see it too with your blog, is, I mean, just a ton of people doing documentaries that are really amazing. I believe I saw The Cove. What was that? Is that the one about the dolphins, The Cove?
That was a documentary. It won an Oscar for Best Documentary, and that was, I didn't see it. I would like to see it, but you are right. It was about raising awareness for some of the harm that I believe dolphins, I could be wrong, but I think it's in Japan, some of the harm that's being caused to them. And it's a movie that was made to raise awareness for that and to try to help prevent that practice. But I did not see that, so I could be mistaken.
Yeah, and when I was out in San Diego back in November, there met a gentleman, and he's doing a documentary about how performance is related to your connection with God. And this guy has, he's worked with like Michael Jordan, and right now, literally, I cannot get to the name of that that documentary, but I know that I've blogged about it. And then there was someone else. Oh, I know. This other woman was doing a documentary on this woman called Wild Mary, or Crazy Mary. Yeah, Crazy Mary. She's on my blog as well. And I just started noticing all of these people who were just going out and documenting all of these amazing people who are doing things in the world. Maybe one of the most popular ones recently is the gentleman who worked for National Geographic. Did you see that one?
No, what was that one?
You know, I'm sitting here talking and I don't know their names, but if you go on YouTube and put in National Geographic Vision or something like that, would probably pull up the little video. And that one was all about this photographer who had decided what he really wanted to do in his life, and he ended up being a photographer for National Geographic, and then, you know, just have this, you know, amazing epiphany moment of realizing what National Geographic really stands for, and that it's exactly what he stood for. And, you know, just really talking about his journey with National Geographic and being you know, really a documenter of nature and of, you know, creation. and it is very, very moving. And it's I saw it on YouTube. Several people forwarded it to me, but I'm just seeing more and more and more of people actually adding to the media. Let's say the media flow. And documenting stories that they feel like need to be told. And it's like, well, you know, if Hollywood's not going to do it, we're going to do it. And so isn't that cool?
It really is. And documentaries are so great because you actually get to see real people and real stories overcoming great adversity or just up to really exciting things. One example that comes to mind right off the bat is a movie called Unbeaten. It's a documentary about a paraplegic race in Alaska that takes place over 6 days through the Alaskan terrain. And you have people in hand cycles who are racing for 6 days straight. It was really exciting. I got to interview one of the producers for that movie, Tamara Henry, the day before her film was entered into the Sundance Film Festival, and it was just so, I was really struck by just how much of an impact she had as a filmmaker and as a person being able to document the journey of these paraplegics. And the whole message of her movie was that these people have an unbeaten spirit, that these people are unbeaten, and it was such a movie of hope, and you could tell that she really was affected by making that movie. And so I absolutely agree. Documentaries are great because you get to see real people and taking on real life challenges.
Well, and it really ends up being a journey unto itself as well, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's what it, I mean, you know, I haven't done a documentary myself, but there have been many in the last, I would say, 5 years that I'm aware of. The ones that I can remember where they really, the people who actually created the documentary or the movie were completely changed after, you know, making it.
Yeah, that's been really interesting to sort of, you're absolutely right. It's been really interesting to kind of hear that. I think they said, it reminds me of Louise Hay's movie, You Can Heal Your Life. She made a movie about her book. And when she made the movie, the people who were making the movie, they hadn't read her book yet. And I don't know if you're familiar with it or your listeners are, but it's all about positive affirmations. And she's really a pioneer in the field of self-help and spiritual growth. And the people who were, the crew who was on the film, they had never heard of her or were familiar with her work. But by the end of the movie, they were just soaking up every word that she had said. And apparently, she had such a huge impact just on the crew, the people who were filming the movie. So I've never been a part of a documentary before, but I think it would just be an incredible experience because the people who are making them because they feel so passionately about the people that they're making the movie of or the idea. And it has to be a real powerful experience.
And it sounds like, you know, we're similar in that we're really moved by stories and people's stories and inspiring stories, you know, real or imagined. And at the same time, I'm like thinking, you know, that I know it's not for everyone. Everyone's got their, you know, their favorite tea or their favorite cookie or whatever it is. Any thoughts on what you're seeing, you know, trend-wise in conscious media that may appeal to a broader audience?
Well, first, let me make a quick comment about the stories. It's definitely something I think is important and something that's always excited me is to make a story as opposed to a traditional self-help lecture book. I like self-help books a lot. I read them a lot, but I also really like stories. It's kind of why I got interested in entertainment. I guess examples that have combined the two would be like The Alchemist or Peaceful Warrior have done a good job, and some of the other movies that we mentioned that are story-driven. And I think one trend we are going to start to see, and we started to see a little bit more, are docudramas kind of like movies that combine documentaries with stories. They tried to do that with The Secret. I think they did a decent job where they would present some information and then they would sort of see some examples and some kind of images of people practicing their ideas. I'm not sure if it really was a story, but it was more of a documentary. One kind of, I thought, good example was Wayne Dyer did make a movie that was similar. His movie was called The Shift, and it was really cool. I didn't know what to expect, but it was Wayne Dyer played himself, and they were shooting a film where he would talk to the film makers. They were making a film. They were trying to interview him, and then you would see how his words would affect the crews, how it would affect actual people who were, like, having a story or a plot within that movie. I don't know. I probably didn't do a good job of explaining that, but I think they're trying to get to a point where they combine, like, documentaries with stories. I think that is kind of one trend we're starting to see.
Hey, yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because that is one I haven't watched, and I totally completely forgot about it. I mean, it's like one of those things where, oh, yeah, I want to see that until it's just off my radar. So I'll go and take a look at that. One of the things that I've been noticing with clients and myself, just, you know, working with different frequencies, that sort of thing, is that intellectual data and, you know, really kind of heavy-duty information frequency really starts to lose its appeal when you start going up pretty high. It's more like, you know, it's just almost like, you know, you just want to fall asleep, right? And so to me, you know, you start moving into that artistic space that, you know, stories as old as time. It's what, you know, unites all of us. And that makes sense why we would be seeing more of that as everyone shifts up.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's kind of why I got interested in entertainment and movies in general, is because it really provides a different dimension. I think, first off, they're more fun. It's more fun, I think, to read a story than it is to maybe read pure information or facts. And it just provides, I think, a deeper dimension, because one thing I like about stories is you sort of see how characters evolve, how they affect each other, how relationships really do matter, and you really get to see how characters respond to certain events. And one thing I really like is if you can add humor into that, then it just makes the whole experience that much more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Laughter is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Well, Matt, share with us a little bit about how the Spiritual Media blog is set up. You know, I know you have a podcast, and so we want to ask some questions about, you know, who someone might be able to hear on your podcast. But what are some of the other things that someone would see when they go there?
Well, there's really, I think, three unique features about Spiritual Media Blog. The first part is something that we've already kind of touched upon, in that there's a lot of reviews and information about movies, books, TV shows, music, other new media platforms, where it's just kind of like getting the word out, like, hey, check out this movie, or hey, this TV show, there's going to be a TV show tonight on Larry King about The Secret, or with Michael Bernard Beckwith, just so people know that they can find interesting TV programs out there, or movies or books about spirituality or consciousness. That's kind of the main part of it. The second part of it is the podcast. And the podcasts are really cool because you actually get to hear from people who are right in the middle of what I call the spiritual entertainment industry and hear what they're doing. For example, I was fortunate enough to speak to two of the co-founders of the Spiritual Cinema Circle, Ariel Ford and Cynthia Littman. And actually today I just spoke with Cynthia and posted our interview online. And you really get to hear somebody. She helped to start the Spiritual Cinema Circle Club, which is a DVD club devoted to producing or to distributing these types of films. So you get to hear people who what they've gone through, some of their challenges, some of their rewarding aspects, and it's really it's inspiring, but it's also sort of practical and informative, because if you're a writer, a filmmaker, or a promoter with consciousness or spirituality, you get to hear from people who have been there and done that, what they're doing, and can really learn from their experiences. And then the third feature about my blog that I think is pretty interesting and unique is it also allows for guest posts where people can actually write about spiritual movies that have really inspired them and how it's inspired them. And it's a way for other people to contribute to the creation of Spiritual Media blog. It's a way for them to sort of express their how they've been affected by these movies. And it also gives them a chance, if they're interested, they can leave a link to their own website or mention their book at the beginning or the end of their blog post. So it's kind of a win-win-win. It gets great content from my blog. It gives them a chance to also maybe add an article or to their website or another link to their website.
Well, I know that that I contributed a review, and you know it was my joy to write that, because that movie was amazing to me. And so I can see how that's a huge win-win-win, because not only do you get the benefit of, you know, being linked to other people of like mind, and at the same time you get to, you know, express your gratitude for the, you know, movie or project that really moved you. So I had never heard of you before that moment, you know, when I found out about that opportunity. I believe I read about you at John Kremer's, in John Kremer's newsletter. And so I was grateful. I was like, awesome, this is wonderful.
Oh, yeah, thank you for saying that. I appreciated you contributing your off-the-map movie review. And like you said, it's been really fun, because a lot of people, I've been pleasantly surprised how much they really enjoy writing about movies that have inspired them or affected them. And it kind of makes sense on an intuitive level. If you watch a movie that you like, or you read a book you like, you want to tell people about it. So, I mean, Spiritual Media Blog kind of gives you a chance to write about and something that's inspired you and express your thoughts. And I think it's pretty fun way for people to get those types of ideas out that have really made a difference in their life.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, you know, one of the people I keep thinking of for you, I'm just going to share, do you know Larry Thompson? He's a big-time lawyer in Hollywood, and I believe he started at the William Morris Agency. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
He wrote a book called Shine, and it's basically this book about, you know, how you can be a star in your life no matter what. And it's interesting, because your story actually, you know, your personal story reminds me of his story, because he basically, his mother, or not saying your mother was like this, but this is his story, what I can remember of it. He basically, his mom always wanted to be a star, and so then he decided he was going to be a star, but he wasn't going to be a star. He wasn't going to go out and be a Hollywood star. He was going to go and be an agent. He is an attorney. And so anyway, he's been you know, very big-time agent over the years. And then he, you know, put out this book, and it was, you know, working to promote people in, you know, really following their dreams, that sort of thing. But for some reason, he keeps popping in my mind this whole time that we've been on the phone. So I just want to mention him to you. I don't know why, but other than you guys have a similar little journey there. So
I would love to meet with him or speak with him. Feel free to pass along my email or website to him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know him. I know this because I'm this complete biography junkie, and so a lot of times I'll get a like someone who has had a full life and had an amazing ride, and they'll want to contribute or give back, and so they'll end up writing a book. And usually in the beginning of the book, they write about their own story, and a lot of times I'll read their story and not even finish the book. But yeah, I don't know, something about you two seems linked up to me, so I just had to mention it.
Well, thank you. I'll look them up and see if I can track them down.
Awesome. Well, what's next for you? I know that we talked about, spiritualmediablog.com, and you actually have your own site as well. And your site is at MatthewWelsh.com, MatthewWelsh.com. And your site's all about follow your passion, which, I absolutely love. And what's next for you? What's on the horizon? What should we know about Matthew Welsh or Matt Welch? Welsh. Tell us what's going on.
Well,
where you're going.
That's a really good question. If I knew with certainty, I'd be happy to tell you. I don't know for certain, but I do love writing. I really would like to continue writing spiritual media blog every day. And you're right, I do have a site, MatthewWelsh.com. A lot of that is about following your passion. I've been speaking to, I've spoken at high school and colleges before to students about how to turn your passion into your career path. That's something that I've tried to do and really enjoy talking to other people about doing. You can actually watch a video of a talk I gave at Notre Dame on that site, a 30-minute talk with practical ideas of how to turn your passion into your career path. I love writing. I'm in the process of trying to get a book that I wrote called The Bottom Line, get that to a major publisher. I've entered a contest, the Next Top Spiritual Author contest, entered that book into that contest, and are just working on writing and speaking and just hoping that I can continue to do that. So that's what I love to do.
Well, one of the things that I'll tell you, Matt, is that your writing is very insightful, and I've been writing for a long time. I have read a lot of things, and your blog is really, really insightful, and it's so nice to read someone who's actually having a conscious thought about things. It's really refreshing, and my prayer for you is that you'll get to continue to do this and in every way you want to, because what you share, one of the things I wondered about your blog actually was, where does he find this stuff? I'm like, is he doing Google searches? Because I've gone there and went, oh, I didn't see that. And it's like, it's almost like your blog is just like, sit there and, stay there way too long. And so, so I'm appreciative of you writing your blog every day.
Oh, thank you. That really means a lot to me. And I really appreciate you saying that. And it is something I do spend a lot of time on it, actually, each day. I probably subscribe to maybe, 50 different newsletters from different authors, speakers, filmmakers, organizations, and I just skim through those each day. I try to visit a handful, maybe a dozen other websites or blogs to try to be on the lookout. But a lot of it is just kind of a genuine interest in movies and entertainment. So some of the stuff is just as simple as going to the movies. I mean, you mentioned Letters to God. That's something that I just noticed like a week ago because I saw that was playing at our local theater. So sometimes it's just trying to be paying more attention to it. But I definitely do spend, maybe about, some days a half hour, some days a couple hours, just reading through different blogs or newsletters, trying to find information that I really feel like would be most interesting or valuable to people.
Well, I mean, it really shows, and that was part of the part of the reason why I asked that, because I was amazed at the content you were putting up, and I was thinking, well, you know, probably caught a few of these, but they're, you know, just so on target every single day. So definitely shows. One of the newsletters I want to mention to you and everyone on the show that's really great, Lynn Sherrell, she forwards so many good things. You know, I'm going to say things because she's the one who sent the National Geographic YouTube piece out. She sent another article out. I mean, I rarely feel like, you know, I don't want to open anything that I get from her. So for any of you who, I know we all have, you know, a million newsletter subscriptions, right? But if you want to have a subscription to someone's site who really is, you know, very thoughtful about what they're sending out, take a look at mycreativecatalyst.com. And that's just MY and then creativecatalyst.com. And Lynn Sherrell, she really does. She's got a pulse for this stuff. And I know how busy she is. I don't, you know, I guess she, you know, divines it, that it just, you know, finds her. And so I would definitely suggest that one too.
Oh, thank you. I'll check that out. We said it was Mike. What was that? What did you say? My Creative Catalyst or
mycreativecatalyst.com. And like I said, I mean, just, you know, from the perspective of sending out little videos and, you know, different things that are out and not marketing-ish. You know what I mean? Nothing against the marketing, you know, things that are out there, but these are really you know, tidbits, you know, media bits that that, you know, they're great. They really are great. Everything she's ever sent out has been really wonderful.
Oh, thank you for that. Because, yeah, sometimes that's the highlight of my day when I just find, like, a great email or newsletter where it's, someone's like, check out this video, check out this movie, check out this TV show. And it's just like, wow, this is really, I really appreciate people taking the time to send out and let people know about that stuff.
Well, right. And I would say that a lot of people think, oh, you know, there's just no way to, you know, keep on top of all the stuff, and why forward stuff, because, you know, people are already overwhelmed. And you know what? I used to think that was true. And recently I actually am about to send out my newsletter, and I write about this in my newsletter because, you know, it was part of the reason why I didn't get on this social media bandwagon, because I was like, oh my gosh, you know, who's going to read all this stuff? It's just so much. And even as an experienced veteran marketer, I really, really am getting on a very practical level what relevance really, really means. And so, you know, like, you know, I'm talking about Lynn, you know, there are some newsletters that, I mean, I probably don't open, you know, once every 3 months, but
right,
every time Lynn sends something, I open it. And so, I mean, that's relevance.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. And then sometimes just as simple as the headline or the first three words that you write in your newsletter can make all the difference. If I see a headline that says, I mean, sometimes it gets real easy. I'll just see a headline that says spiritual movie, or it's like Michael Bernard Beth was on Larry King tonight. That makes it really easy if there's like a very like informative headline. So sometimes that can helps me a little bit sometimes.
Exactly. And you know, this is relevant to, you know, anyone listening to us, you know, talking about your business or anything else like that. It's like, you know, really having your pulse on what people are interested in, and, you know, your clients, that sort of thing. You know, it's funny, Matt, your energy makes me want to share stuff with you.
And, that's great.
which is interesting, because your blog is all about sharing, right? So I'm noticing I keep wanting to give you more stuff, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on here?
I love that. That's great, because that's another thing I've been so pleasantly surprised about, is how many people just email me out of the blue, letting me know about a movie they've made or a book that they've written. And it's really been quite fascinating. It also makes my day a little bit easier, because I'm like, that really is a great movie. I mean, some of the most random movies, but that are really interesting, people will say, hey, I made this movie, can you write about it? And I'd say most, if it's a movie or a TV show, I'd say 90% of the time I'll say yes. If it's a book or a website, then it would really have to have something that really jumps out at me. But a lot of times I've been really pleasantly surprised how many people would just email me and just be like, hey, check out this movie or check out this TV show. And most of the time I'm really happy to get those emails.
Well, I will definitely go back in my email, because I know that I have those. I know for sure one of the, I think I wrote about both of them, those documentaries I mentioned earlier on my blog. I'll go back and I will email those to you and everyone listening. I'll also put it in my newsletter so that you'll have access to it. But I guess to me it's more about realizing and recognizing that there are so many people really living their dreams. There are people who are going for it. And Matt, you're definitely an example of that. You know, I'm sure no one gave you a book and said, hey, here's how you do a spiritual media blog.
It definitely has evolved over time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So you followed your passion, and people are showing up, and people are sending you stuff, and definitely your energy is all about sharing and you know, passing on, you know, the gold that's out there. And that makes perfect sense why, you know, that's part of where you are today and your mission and all of that. I'm excited to see what will happen with your book. Good luck with the what was the title of that? I saw it. Someone sent it to me, but what's the title of the contest?
The title of the contest is nexttopspiritualauthor.com. The title of my book is The Bottom Line. It's a novel about a guy learning how to overcome his ego, his fears, and desires. If you feel so compelled, if you wanted to vote for my book in the competition, if you go to nexttopspiritualauthor.com, search for my last name, Welsh, and voted for my book, that would be greatly appreciative if it resonates with you. But
okay, next top spiritual author, right?
Yeah.
.com. Okay, and then your last name, even though I was butchering it earlier, is Welsh, not C-H.
Correct. You're right. Matt Welsh, Welsh.
Okay, fantastic. And they can get your book on your site, MatthewWelsh.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay, awesome. You know, it's interesting, Matt, there have been a lot of attorneys that I have interviewed over the years, and I find that fascinating. At the same time, you know, like I said, you know, when we were talking before the show started, you know, attorneys are typically pretty strong writers. They can pull together their thoughts pretty strategic usually, right?
Yeah, I think that's very accurate, and it's also pretty insightful. And like I said, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to law school or not, but it's funny you mentioned that about writing, because I do remember at the time I really did like to write in college, and I thought at the very least, and at the time I had no intention of being writing a blog or writing a book, but I did like writing, and I thought at the very least if I go to law school, I'll become a better writer. And that's a skill that I'll be able to use pretty much in any industry. And it does help. I mean, the tests you take for law school are 3 hours of writing essays nonstop. And law school is all about conflict, resolving problems, and really people coming with you, telling you a story, and you have to pull out the important facts and solve the problems. So I think it think it did help me become a better writer, maybe a little more disciplined. The downside of law school for me was sometimes it would make me be a bit too analytical, and that's something that I've tried to work on a bit, is letting go of that.
Yeah, there's nothing like that intellectual energy to get your mind moving.
it does stimulate me and intellectually. Yeah, you're right.
Awesome. Well, Matt, could you send us off into the week with a final thought or idea or, you know, whatever you'd like to share?
Well, first and foremost, just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on your radio show. It really means a lot to me, and your kind words you said about Spiritual Media Blog. And as far as just any closing remarks goes, I would just really encourage people to, if they see any movie or book or TV show out there that inspires them, to just talk about it, write about it, share it with other people. Because I think it's such a fun and important way that we can sort of spread inspiring messages and build each other up.
Beautiful. And so we're ending our show tonight on a sharing and generous and positive note, which is what your Spiritual Media Blog is all about. And I haven't read your book, but I'm sure that your book is about that too, because I can really say that I can feel the truth behind what you speak of and where you come from, and that truly is a gift. So, Matt, thank you so much for being with us and everyone. I want to let you all know, too, that in November 4th through the 7th, we are going to have our second retreat. We had our first one this past January, and in November, this retreat is going to actually be an artist retreat. So if you're a writer or you're a painter or a musician, one of my dear friends, Doreen, quote-unquote, Doe Fisher, is going to be with me, and we will be doing amazing things with the group, and this retreat is also going to be in Colorado. It's going to be in the San Juan Mountains. It's one of my favorite places on the planet, and I feel really called to go there for this next retreat, and the reason why we're doing it in November is because I will not be doing one next January. So I just want to let everyone know, have, you know, a little advance notice. You'll be seeing it in my newsletter. And I want you all, wherever you are, to be enjoying this beautiful springtime and noticing all of the babies out there, tons and tons of babies, and seeing nests all over the place, and, you know, squirrels and their little babies, and just really, really connect to the beauty all around you and soak it in. It's absolutely free, and it's there for you to connect with and actually give to as well. So everyone, enjoy. We'll see you again next week. Matt, thank you so much for being here. And everyone, have a good evening and be well. Bye.
Thank you.